You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this plane.
Mr.
Thanks, Danny. I love Washington.
Excuse me. I didn't dismiss you.
I beg your pardon?
I'm not through with my examination. Sit down.
Colonel.
What's that?
I'd appreciate if he would address me as Colonel or Sir. I believe I've earned it.
Defense counsel will address the witness as Colonel or Sir.
I don't know what the hell kind of unit you're running here.
And the witness will address this court as Judge or Your Honor. I'm quite certain I've earned it. Take your seat, Colonel.
What do you want to discuss now? My favorite color?
Colonel, the 6 a.m. flight was the first one off the...
All right, this is just a little bonus audio for you here. This is the whole exchange. I remember the first time I heard this, I was like, yeah, you can't handle the truth, punk.
Yes.
And that was before he was jumping on Oprah's couch.
There wasn't a flight that left 7 hours earlier and landed at Andrews Air Force Base at 2 a.m.
Lieutenant, I think we've covered this, haven't we?
Your Honor, these are the Tower Chief's logs from both Guantanamo Bay and Andrews Air Force Base. Guantanamo log lists no flight that left at 11 p.m. and the Andrews log lists no flight that landed at 2 a.m. I'd like to admit them as defense exhibits Alpha and Bravo.
I don't understand. You're admitting evidence of a flight that never existed.
Well, we believe it did, sir. Defense will be calling Airman Cecil O'Malley and Airman Anthony Rodriguez. They were working the ground crew at Andrews at 2 a.m. on the 7th.
Your Honor, these men weren't on the list.
Rebuttal witnesses, Your Honor, are called specifically to refute testimony offered under direct examination.
Colonel, a moment of advice sake. We'll get to the airman in just a minute, sir. A moment ago, you said that you ordered Lieutenant Kendrick to tell his men that Santiago wasn't to be touched.
That's right.
And Lieutenant Kendrick was clear on what you wanted?
Crystal.
Any chance Lieutenant Kendrick ignored the order?
Ignored the order?
Any chance he forgot about it?
No.
Any chance Lieutenant Kendrick left your office and said, the old man is wrong?
No.
When Lieutenant Kendrick spoke to the platoon and ordered them not to touch Santiago, any chance they ignored him?
You ever served in an infantry unit, son?
No, sir.
Ever served in a forward area?
No, sir.
Ever put your life in another man's hands? Asked him to put his life in yours?
No, sir.
We follow orders, son. We follow orders or people die. It's that simple. Are we clear?
Yes, sir.
Are we clear?
Crystal. Colonel, I have just one more question before I call Airman O'Malley and Airman Rodriguez. If you gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, and your orders are always followed, then why would Santiago be in danger? Why would it be necessary to transfer him off the base?
Santiago was a substandard Marine. He was being transferred...
That's not what you said. You said he was being transferred because he was in grave danger.
That's correct.
You said he was in danger. I said grave danger. You said, is there
any... I recall what I said.
I can have the court reporter read back to you.
I know what I said. I don't have to have it read back to me like I'm...
Write two orders. Colonel?
Sometimes men take matters into their own hands.
This is awesome.
No, sir, you made it clear just a moment ago that your men never take matters in their own hands. Your men follow orders or people die. So Santiago shouldn't have been in any danger at all, should he have, Colonel?
You snotty little bastard.
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
The court will wait for an answer.
If Lieutenant Kendrick gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, then why did he have to be transferred? Colonel, Lieutenant Kendrick ordered the...
Why is he whispering?
Who
code red, didn't he? Because that's what you told Lieutenant Kendrick to do.
Object!
And when it went bad, you cut these guys loose!
Your Honor,
you had Morpheus inside the bony transport!
Your Honor,
you doctored the logbook!
Damn it, Captain!
You coerced the doctor!
Consider yourself in contempt!
Colonel Jessup! Did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
And now here it comes. Here comes the truth, punk.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago, and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
That is awesome. I have no idea who wrote that, but that is a quality piece of audio right there.
Did you order the code red?
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're goddamn right I did!
Oops. Somebody going to jail. Yep. Just for the record, he wasn't killed in real life, okay? Based on a historical event. Got beat up because he was a shitbird. Blah, 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 blah. But I'll tell you what. Pretty decent exchange. Pretty powerful. Jack Nicholson is awesome in that. You know, when he does his scary, like he rolls his eyes and does that crazy shit that he does, and he gives a little hint of it there. That's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. Let's see. Here's another one. Here's Al Pacino, Senate of a Woman piece. I'll play a little fun audio for you, since Gunner's not going to be on today. This is Al Pacino in Scent of a Woman, okay? And, he's at that little trial, or the hearing for his guy who came to help him because he's blind. And this is another little awesome clip of audio. But has the people, what do they have to do? It has the people to do with people that won't live up to their oath. All right. So Scent of a Woman. I love this audio cuts.
Mr. Simms, you are a cover-up artist, and you are a liar.
But not a snitch.
Excuse me?
Okay, so let me set the scene. So Charlie, who just got called a cover-up artist and a liar, right, is sitting there. He's sitting there, and this colonel, I can't remember his name, this colonel, who is played by Al Pacino, who was going to kill himself. He had this elaborate plan to kill himself, but he needed somebody to help him get to this place. So he takes in Charlie. Ultimately, Charlie kind of talks him out of killing himself. Okay? And so now Charlie gets in trouble because he won't snitch on these rich kids he goes to school with at this private boys' school, at the Baird School. And this is the hearing. Charlie's going to get booted out because he won't snitch on these guys. These guys did what Charlie's accused of, but Charlie won't snitch. So that's what's going on here. Here it is.
No, I don't think I will.
Mr. Slade.
This is such a crock of shit.
Please watch your language, Mr. Slade. You are in the Baird School, not a barracks.
Mr. Sims, I will give you one final opportunity to speak up.
Yeah, if we were in a barracks, you'd be getting your ass beat. I know that.
Mr. Sims doesn't want it. He doesn't need to be labeled still worthy of being a bad man. What the hell is that? What is your motto here? Boys, inform on your classmates. Save your hide. Anything short of that, we're going to burn you at the stake? Well, gentlemen, when the shit hits the fan, some guys run and some guys stay. Here's Charlie facing the fire, and there's George hiding in Big Daddy's pocket. And what are you doing? You're going to reward George and destroy Charlie.
Are you finished, Mr. Slade?
No, I'm just getting warmed up. I don't know who went to this place. William Howard Taft, William Jennings Bryan, William Tell, whoever. Their spirit is dead, if they ever had one. It's gone. You're building a rat ship here. A vessel for seagoing snitches. And if you think you're preparing these minnows for manhood, you better think again. Because I say you are killing the very spirit this institution proclaims it instills. What a sham. What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today? I mean, the only class in this act is sitting next to me, and I'm here to tell you, this boy's soul is intact. It's non-negotiable. You know how I know? Someone here, and I'm not going to say who, offered to buy it. Only Charlie here wasn't selling.
Sir, you're out of order.
Out of order? I show you out of order. You don't know what out of order is, Mr. Trask. I'd show you, but I'm too old. I'm too tired. I'm too fucking blind. If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place. Out of order. Who the hell do you think you're talking to? I've been around, you know. There was a time I could see. And I have seen boys like these, younger than these, their arms torn out, their legs ripped off. But there is nothing like the sight of an amputated spirit. There is no prosthetic for that. You think you're merely sending this splendid foot soldier back home to Argonne with his tail between his legs, but I say you are executing his soul! And why? Because he's not a bad man. Bad men. You hurt this boy, you're going to be bad bums. The lot of you. And Harry, Jimmy, Trent, wherever you are out there, fuck you too.
Stand down, Mr. Slade.
I'm not finished.
That is awesome. Right? Yeah, when you take your country ass raised in the military, right, and you go speak the truth, hilarious. He continues, hold on.
As I came in here, I heard those words, cradle of leadership. Well, when the bow breaks, the cradle will fall, and it has fallen here. It has fallen. Makers of men. Creators of leaders, be careful what kind of leaders you're producing here. I don't know if Charlie's silence here today is right or wrong. I'm not a judge or jury, but I can tell you this. He won't sell anybody out to buy his future. And that, my friends, is called integrity. That's called courage. Now, that's the stuff leaders should be made of. Now, I have come to the crossroads in my life. I always knew what the right path was. Without exception, I knew. But I never took it. You know why? It was too damn hard. Now, here's Charlie. He's come to the crossroads. He has chosen a path. It's the right path. It's a path made of principle. That leads to character. Let him continue on his journey. You hold this boy's future in your hands, committee. It's a valuable future. Believe me. Don't destroy it. Protect it. Embrace it. It's going to make you proud one day. I promise you.
Yeah, whatever, they clap. They don't mean it. Here's the email. Mac, this is awesome. Who needs a gunner? I agree with you. Who needs him? Do you have any other audio like this? I have a bunch of it. Things that, for whatever reason, over the years I've collected. This is still, to me, one of the most amazing pieces of audio. This is the sitting president of the United States who has decided that he's going to convince the country, okay, that oral sex is not sexual relations, okay? And I want you to listen to the tone that he scolds the nation with. I want you to listen to him pound the podium, and then I want you to listen to people cheer. It is an astounding piece of audio. No matter how you cut it, this is the sitting president of the United States who's going to go in front of the nation, and he's going to sell that. Here you go. William Jefferson Clinton.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Miss Lewinsky, I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people.
That's the President of the United States. Could you imagine? Okay, so I have a similar experience to this, right? That you see it play out in public, and you know the truth, and you're like, jaw hits the floor. Okay, mine had to do with sports. So the sequence of events is, right, he takes advantage of Monica Lewinsky. Okay? And there's no other way that you can describe it, right? She's a young girl. He's the president of the United States. It's like disgusting. And if he did it once, you know that his life has been filled with it. Anyway, so... But anyway, Monica Lewinsky tells Linda Tripp about this. Okay, now this comes out. Can you imagine them sitting and watching this on TV and looking at what would they think? Holy shit. He just went out and smoked it in a lie. Can you imagine your jaw dropping? My experience was game 6 of the 86 World Series. Right after the game, sitting around talking with my dad, hey, why did you take Roger Clemens out? And he looks at me and goes, I didn't take Roger Clemens out. He took himself out. What happened? Well, he's got a little bit of a cold, and he started to get a blister on his finger. He was down in the tunnel. Fish, the pitching coach, Bill Fisher, former Marine, went down and to talk to him like he always does, everything okay? And he says, no, I'm out of gas. Go get Skip, which means... the skipper, my dad. So he comes up, he goes, hey, Roger needs to talk to you. So my dad's telling me the story. He goes down a tunnel. Clemens looks at him and says, I'm out of gas. I'm getting a blister. You need to bring in Calvin. My dad said, are you sure? And he said, yeah. All right. So now the dean of all baseball writes in a Sports Illustrated article that my dad blew the World Series by taking Roger Clemens out. My dad reads it. Doesn't particularly handle it well, as you might imagine, because there was no internet, right? It was Sports Illustrated. That's how we read sports, okay? You had your sports page. It was probably 3 or 4 pages in big newspapers. It was a page and a half in small newspapers, maybe two pages in a small newspaper, if you put all the high school scores in there. And so here's a guy like Peter Gammons, right? Something that's straight up not true. And then you watch it play out in public, and your jaw just is on the ground saying, I can't believe that they would be so bold as just to stand up there and lie their way out of it. And they do it. And they do it. It's, I mean, honestly, it's astounding. It's astounding, some of this stuff. Hey, Mac, Al Pacino's monologue is one of the greatest in movies history. It was badass. No, it's up there. It's up there with great ones. The all right, here's, I've never seen this one, so I don't know what's in that. This is Bill Clinton during his deposition. And this piece of audio is not easy to find. Okay? So listen to him. This is, I always, when I play this, I always say this. Okay, so he's parsed this thing, okay? And his defense is it's not oral sex. And relative to perjury, you know, this is the whole, it depends on what your definition of is. That's what we're down to with the President of the United States. What a scumbag, seriously. What a simple scumbag. I mean, he could have told the truth, right? And said, look, I mean, come on. Hillary, not so much, you know, we don't do that anymore. I need some help. I'm vulnerable. He could have spun that one. I'm a vulnerable man right now. I could use a concubine or six or seven. Okay. I know it's not acceptable, but come on. Somebody help me out. I'm the President of the United States. I have all these gorgeous women fawning all over me as I go around the country. And guess what? I got nothing. I got nothing. Cause, you know, Hillary, we're not about that anymore. I'm the President of the United States. I need my blood pressure lowered. He could have played the victim card. I'm a victim in all this. And everybody would have said, you know, he's got a point there, doesn't he? But it doesn't forgive, like, preying on young women. Come on. What are you, a piece of garbage or something? Anyway, this is the audio from that. It's astounding to listen to.
Whether or not Mr. Bennett knew your relationship with Ms. Lewinsky. The statement that there was no sex of any kind, in any manner, shape, or form with President Clinton was an utterly false statement. Is that correct?
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yes.
There is no sex of any kind, of any form. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Yeah. Referred by the House, or impeached by the House, acquitted in the Senate.
If is means is and never has been, that is not, that's one thing. If it means...
He almost said that's not a correct statement, right? Did you notice that? Hold on. Listen to this.
If is means is and never has been, that is not... That's one thing.
Ooh, he almost admitted guilt.
If it means there is none, that was a completely true statement. But as I have testified, I'd like to testify again. It is somewhat unusual for a client to be asked about his lawyer's statements instead of the other way around. I was not paying a great deal of attention to this exchange. I was focusing on my own testimony.
We're asking you about the validity of the statement. Was it true? I mean, amazing, right? Now we're going to do double talk about that. The I have Gunnery Sergeant Hartman stuff too. And you know, again, I sometimes I get nervous to play stuff like this because it takes us back to a time in the Marine Corps that I think we'd like to, much like the Confederate monuments, we'd like to make it go away, right? We'd like to say that this didn't really happen in the Marine Corps, that this is Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, right? And the part where he uses the N-word, he calls Hispanics an S-word, right? We'd like to say that this didn't occur. But when Lee Ermey stood up and did this, it is as natural as the day is long, and I will guarantee you that he didn't make it up. Okay? that what he did was he took it from other people. So, Full Metal Jacket.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
If you ladies leave my island, if you survive recruit training, you will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death praying for war. But until that day, you are pukes. You are the lowest form of life on earth. You are not even human fucking beings. You are nothing but unorganized, grabastic pieces of amphibian shit. Because I am hard, you will not like me. But the more you hate me, the more you will learn. I am hard, but I am fair. There is no racial bigotry here. I do not look down on niggers, kikes, wops, or greasers. Here you are all equally worthless. And my orders are to weed out all non-hackers who do not pack the gear to serve in my beloved Corps. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I can't hear you.
Sir, yes, sir.
Okay, now there's a series of little exchanges that happened during the movie itself.
What's your name, scumbag?
Sir, Private Brown, sir!
Bullshit, from now on you're Private Snowball. Do you like that name?
Yes, sir!
Well, there's one thing that you won't like, Private Snowball. They don't serve fried chicken and watermelon on a daily basis in my mess hall.
Yes, sir!
Is that you, John Wayne?
Now, this is an experience that I think a lot of us have had, right? Lights go out. Lights go out. And whether it's a sergeant instructor or the platoon sergeant, they turn the lights out and they pretend like they walk away. And then they come back. And after a few minutes, people start talking out loud, right?
Is this me?
Who said that? Who the fuck said that?
Now, you're laying your rack and everybody's sitting there thinking, oh, shit. Here we go again.
Who's the slimy little communist shit twinkle toe cocksucker down here who just signed his own death warrant? Nobody, huh? The very fucking godmother said, I'll fucking stand. I will PT you all until you fucking die. I'll PT you until your assholes are sucking buttermilk. Was it you, you scroungy little fuck, huh?
Sir, no, sir.
You little piece of shit, you look like a fucking worm. I bet it was you.
Sir, no, sir.
Sir, I said it, sir.
And at that point, you're sitting there going, oh, shit. Private Joker, Matthew Modine, stand by.
Well, no shit. What have we got here, a fucking comedian, Private Joker? I admire your honesty. Hell, I like you. You can come over to my house and fuck my sister.
That was a punch in the stomach. You know, when you hear this stuff for the first time, you hear, who makes this shit up, man? Where do they get this? Where do they get the things they say? And you hear them all the time.
You little scumbag! I got your name! I got your ass! You will not laugh. You will not cry. You will learn by the numbers. I will teach you. Now get up. Get on your feet. You had best unfuck yourself or I will unscrew your head and chip down your neck.
Sir, yes, sir.
Private Joker, why did you join my beloved Corps?
Sir, to kill, sir.
So you're a killer?
Sir, yes, sir.
Let me see your war face.
Sir.
You got a war face? Ah! That's a war face. Now let me see your war face.
Ah!
Bullshit. You didn't convince me. Let me see your real war face.
Ah!
You don't scare me. Work on it.
Sir, yes, sir.
What's your excuse?
Sir, excuse for what, sir?
I'm asking the fucking questions here, Private. Do you understand?
Sir, yes, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Can I be in charge for a while?
Sir, yes, sir.
Are you shook up? Are you nervous?
Sir, I am, sir.
Do I make you nervous?
Sir.
Sir, what? Are you about to call me an asshole?
Sir, no, sir.
How tall are you, Private?
Sir, 5'9", sir.
5'9"? I didn't know they stacked shit that high. You trying to squeeze an inch in on me somewhere, huh?
Sir, no, sir.
Bullshit. It looks to me like the best part of you ran down the crack of your mama's ass and ended up as a brown stain on the mattress. I think you've been cheated. Where in hell are you from anyway, Private?
Sir, Texas, sir!
Holy dog shit, Texas, only steers and queers come from Texas, private cowboy. And you don't much look like a steer to me, so that kind of narrows it down. Do you suck dicks?
Sir, no, sir!
Are you a Peter Pepper?
Sir, no, sir!
I'll bet you're the kind of guy that would fuck a person in the ass and not even have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around. I'll be watching you.
You know, and let me tell you, nobody in Hollywood wrote that for him either. Right? Nobody in Hollywood wrote that. Unbelievable. And I know, you know, again, as crude as it is, it's hilarious. If you ever stood and listened to this, I mean, it was everything you could do not to laugh. And there would be guys that laugh. All of a sudden, you know, somebody would be getting it like that, and you hear somebody from down the squad bay, you hear this. And you'd be like, oh, no. Hopefully they'll admit to it so we don't all get it again.
Did your parents have any children that lived?
Sir, yes, sir.
I bet they regret that. You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece. What's your name, fat body?
Sir, Leonard Lawrence, sir.
Lawrence, what, of Arabia?
Sir, no, sir.
That name sounds like royalty. Are you royalty?
Sir, no, sir.
Do you suck dicks?
Sir, no, sir.
Bullshit, I'll bet you could suck a golf ball through a garden hose.
Sir, no, sir.
I don't like the name Lawrence. Only faggots and sailors are called Lawrence. From now on, you're Gomer Pyle.
Sir, yes, sir.
Do you think I'm cute, Private Pyle? Do you think I'm funny?
Sir, no, sir.
Then wipe that disgusting grin off your face.
Sir, yes, sir.
Well, any fucking time, sweetheart.
Sir, I'm trying, sir.
Private Pyle, I'm going to give you 3 seconds. Exactly 3 fucking seconds to wipe that stupid-looking grin off your face, or I will gouge out your eyeballs and skull-fuck you. 1, 2, 3.
Sir, I can't help it, sir.
Bullshit! Get on your knees, scumbag!
What the hell? I'll tell you a Vietnam era boot camp story here in a second.
Now choke yourself.
Watching somebody choke themselves is one of the funniest things you'll ever see in your life. Right? So what happens is the drill instructor takes his palm and he sticks it fingers together, right, and then thumb as far out as you can extend it. All right. So take your hand, put it parallel to the ground, okay? Now lock your fingers together and take your thumb and point it as far away from the other fingers as possible. Okay, it's called your knife edge right there. Okay, so you got your knife edge. So then they stick that out and they stick it. They stick the V between your thumb and your index finger. They stick that V like right in front of your throat, and they look at you. So now they can't choke a candidate or a recruit, right? But the recruit can choke himself. So then they do that, and they say, "Now choke yourself." And so you have some poor jackass, and he has like he shoves his neck into that, right? And then normally he makes some kind of choking noise, although he's not choking, right? So it's the stupidest shit you've ever seen. I mean, it's a comedy show, honestly, except the craziest people in charge, the craziest people are the ones in charge. And you look and you're like, how can crazy people be in charge of something? But everybody in charge is crazy.
God damn it, with my hand, numbnuts! Don't pull my fucking hand over there. I said choke yourself. Now lean forward and choke yourself. God. Are you through grinning?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I can't hear you.
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I still can't hear you. Sound off like you've got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
That's enough. Get on your feet. Private Pyle, you had best square your ass away and start shitting me Tiffany cufflinks, or I will definitely fuck you up.
Sir, yes, sir.
The boot camp, right? Vietnam era. Count off, right? Well, line up after chow in the evening, tallest to smallest, right? Now we're going to fold the line in half. So now the smallest dude's facing the tallest dude. Now we're going to fight. Yeah, we're going to form a circle, and then guys are going to get in the middle, and they're going to fight. Tallest against the smallest. So a story goes, told to me by a lieutenant general, who's one of the smaller guys in the company. He said, tall guy looks at the drill instructor and says, he's too small, I'm not going to beat his ass. And he says, you better. And with that, they blow the whistle, and he wouldn't hit him. Blow the whistle again and stop it. Okay, we'll make this thing fair. All right? Get on your knees. And the little guy, he's fighting, right? The little guy's fighting. And they tape with a belt or something, his right, the tall guy was right-handed. So they strap his right arm to his body so he can't move it. All right, and then he looks at the small guy. When I blow the whistle, get him. And then they look at the tall guy. Good luck. Blows the whistle. Got his ass beat. Got his ass beat by that little guy. I mean, and then every night, every time they do this, you'd slide over and fight the next guy. And not a place for the faint of, not a place for the faint of heart, right? This is, I keep this quote because I hate it. And it reminds, the next one, it reminds me of, you know, how screwed up our nation is. Okay. This is Harry Reid. I want to say in 2007, 2006, saying the war is lost. And he says that to try to, so that who ran against, Al Gore ran against George Bush. Yeah, he says it. No, so it had to have been earlier than that. Yeah, the war is lost. You know, he only says it for political gain. He says it for political gain. No, I think it was Barack Obama in 2008 running against John McCain. Yes? Yeah. Here's Harry Reid. The war is lost. The war is lost. No kind of, you know, that's why I hate Harry Reid. Do you know what the encouragement that gave our enemies? When it is nowhere close to being true.
Now, I believe myself that the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, and you have to make your own decision as to what the President knows, that this war is lost and that the surge is not accomplishing anything as indicated by the extreme violence in Iraq yesterday.
Harry Reid believes that this war is lost. Where is his plan to win this war? And where will they confront radical, militant Islam? Where will they confront these cold-blooded killers if they are not willing to confront them where they are today?
Representative Pete Hoekstra from Michigan. What? Yeah, Harry Reid. What a piece of garbage. What a piece of garbage. All right, here's Robert Duvall.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. You know, one time we had a hail bomb.
The helicopter is just motivating, straight up motivating.
12 hours when it was all over, I woke up. We didn't find one of them, not one stinking big body. Smell! You know that gasoline smell? A whole hill. It smells like victory.
That is awesome. Right? Helicopter touchdown. Old Lance is out there trying to surf in the waters off Vietnam. Awesome. Awesome. Right? He's got his yellow Cavs scarf on and his Stetson. You know what? The scene is longer than that, if I can find it here. I got a couple of emails I got to get to, too. That's Robert Duvall, Apocalypse Now. All right. This, yeah, I only have 30. This is awesome. I remember they used to show this stuff before classes at the basic school, right? It was awesome. It was awesome stuff. He gets off the aircraft, right? Martin Sheen's behind him, like, looking like, what's going on around here, right? So this is a whole, like, altered states of apocalypse now. So Sheen's behind him. He's got his radio operator running and ducking, and then he's got this dude that likes to surf with him, Lance, all right? So they sit down at an LZ, yellow smoke everywhere. But I'll tell you what, I love the sound of helicopters.
What do you know about surfing, Major? You're a goddamn surfer. Hey, come in. Change.
Me right now, sir?
I want to see how radical that stuff is going to change.
You're pretty hairy out there, sir.
You want to surf, soldier?
Yes, sir.
That's good, son, because you either surf or fight. That's clear. Now get going. I'm coming for him. That's with a board for legs.
Tell the boat gets here.
Lance, I'll bet you can't wait to get out there.
What?
See how they break both ways? One guy can break right, one left simultaneous. What do you think of that?
Phil, I think we gotta wait for the tide to come up.
Hey, Lance, come here. Look, look.
It's coming.
The tide doesn't come in for 6 hours.
The tide's not coming for 6 hours. Right, and as this incoming comes in, Duvall's one of those guys, right? He's standing there with, I don't know, he's got a ring from someplace on his finger. He's standing there. He doesn't even flinch. Incoming's coming in, uniform perfect, right? Is that yellow scarf and his Stetson, because he's a Cav guy. Cav guys are actually pretty cool, man. They love their history, and they'll bust that stuff out every once in a while, which is pretty cool, because they're cocky. Which, you know, I mean, how can you be a Marine? And when you see them roll that shit out, you don't love it. It's awesome. I saw pictures of it in Iraq. Never was around them to see it, but pretty cool. And, so, Duvall plays his character awesome.
You want to wait here for 6 hours?
Okay, fellas, quit fighting.
Come on. Let's go. You can't take off.
God damn it. Don't you think it's a little risky for R&R?
If I say it's safe to surf this beach, Captain, it's safe to surf this beach. I mean, I'm not afraid to surf this place. I'm safe to surf this fucking place.
Now he's pissed, okay? Now he's pissed. All right, and now he calls it a napalm strike. That's beautiful to watch.
Now for this Big Duke 6.
How about that for a call sign? Big Duke 6.
God damn it! I'm on the tree line bomb!
Big Duke 6, roger, 113, standby.
Don't worry, we'll have this place cleaned up and ready for us in the Jimmy Saw, don't you worry!
Get your people back and head down. This is gonna be a big one.
Now, this is a flight of 1, 2, 3, 4. It looks like F-5s that Grumman made. Got to use for the show, though. Flying in an air show formation, no less. But it is a movie, right?
Come in the morning. You know one time we had a hill bump? For 12 hours, when it was all over, I walked up. We didn't find one of them, not one stinking big body. Smell! You know that gasoline smell? The whole hill. Smells like... victory. Someday this war's going to end.
That is awesome. That's an awesome scene. There's some great scenes in Apocalypse Now. It gets weird at the end and all that. It's great. Parts of it are great. And that's one of the best scenes that comes out of it. Although, you know, to me, when I think of the movie, it was the first time I ever saw depicted in American film. Now, there might be other films that depicted being wounded like this, but I don't recall it. But when there's a scene where they're running a medevac in a courtyard, and there's a black soldier that's wounded in the thigh, and he's screaming, and I'd never seen anything like that before. You know, I mean, Sergeant Stryker gets shot in Sands of Iwo Jima, man. One second he's reading a letter from, he's not reading a letter from his son. He's talking to the Marines, and then the next second, pew, he goes down, he's dead. Right? No fuss, no muss, nothing. And what I remember most about Apocalypse Now, if you said, hey, Mac, what's number one memory from Apocalypse Now? I would tell you the scene where they're about to medevac this soldier, and then a female Vietnamese woman throws her hat into the helicopter. It's got a grenade in it. The helicopter's trying to lift. The grenade explodes. Right, the helicopter explodes, crashes down, and then the woman takes off. Right, and one of the what do they call those? Kiowa chases her down a trail and kills her. And you're just sitting there, and you're like, "Oh my God, what the hell was that, man? That's not how we did it in World War II." Yeah, pretty crazy. The I have a whole series of famous liars, and Bill Clinton's in it. So it starts with Richard Nixon, all right? And it's the playbook for lying in American public life. And it's amazing, honestly, it's amazing to listen to, right? Nixon coming on and telling us that, you know, the American people got to know if their president's a crook. And Dick Nixon's got a crook, not a crook. And then you'll hear a beep, and then it's the audio of him resigning. So it's Richard Nixon, Pete Rose, Bill Clinton, and who else is in here? Yeah, it's a big time public lying.
I want to say this to the television audience. I made my mistakes. But in all of my years of public life, I have never profited from public service. I've earned every cent. And in all of my years of public life, I have never obstructed justice. And I think, too, that I can say that in my years of public life, that I welcome this kind of examination, because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got. I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow. Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour in this office.
My life is baseball. I hope to get back into baseball as soon as I possibly can. I'm looking forward to that. Matter of fact, I've never looked forward to a birthday like I'm looking forward to my new daughter's birthday, because 2 days after that is when I can apply for reinstatement. Does anyone have any questions?
Mr. Rose, the baseball commissioner this morning said, quote, "I concluded that he bet on baseball." Yet you stand there now and say you didn't, but that you think the punishment is fair. How do all those things jive?
Well, regardless of what the commissioner said today, I do not bet on baseball. That's all I can say.
I bet on my team every night.
Okay.
Okay, I didn't bet on my team four nights a week. So I wouldn't send a single after the team. I'm not going to use my closer on Friday night or Saturday night.
You,
I mean, that's how much. And I was wrong, okay?
But do you realize
You realize how strange this is? Now you're telling me more than we thought? In other words,
well, no, no, that's,
our roles are reversed here.
If you follow the Dow report, I mean, that's what Paul Janssen said, and he was absolutely right. But
wow.
Did you bet on them every night, Pete?
What's that?
You bet on the Reds every night.
Yeah, I bet on the Reds. I bet on my team to win every night because I love my team. I believe in my team.
I'll begin my questioning on the matter of whether or not Nick...
And Pete Rose is still lying. He's, you know, he's incredible. Pete Rose, man, Charlie Hustle, Charlie Hustler, as he is more aptly known. The this is tobacco executives. I can't remember. In front of some House committee. And, again, this is just like standing in front of the American people and just lying. It's awesome.
Team is addictive. Let me ask you first, and I'd like to just go down the row, whether each of you believes that nicotine is not addictive. I heard virtually all of you touch on it, and just yes or no. Do you believe nicotine is not addictive?
I believe nicotine is not addictive, yes.
Mr. Johnson.
Congressman, cigarettes and nicotine clearly do not meet the classic definitions of addiction. There is no intoxication.
We'll take that as a no, and again, time is short. If you could just... I think each of you believe nicotine is not addictive. We just would like to have this for the record.
I don't believe that nicotine or our products are addictive.
I believe nicotine is not addictive.
I believe that nicotine is not addictive.
I believe that nicotine is not addictive.
And I too believe that nicotine is not addictive.
Now, I have to go back to work on my State of the Union speech.
This is him again, but it's so good you got to hear it one more time because, and there's one more clip after that, I think.
And I worked on it for pretty late last night.
I know, you're up late, it's tough.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
Whether or not Mr. Bennett knew your relationship.
All right, this is the, you have to endure this, okay? Because I think we get to his apology after this.
With Ms. Lewinsky, the statement that there was no sex of any kind, in any manner,
okay, so when the attorney says there was no sex of any manner, of any kind, Clinton's sitting there is like, oh, shit. They got me.
The form of President Clinton was an utterly false statement. Is that correct?
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Okay. This might be the pinnacle of lying right here. This might be the apex of lying. Ask the question about, did you have sex of any kind with this intern? You can't answer yes or no. Honestly, it's astounding.
If is means is and never has been, that is not, that's one thing. If it means there is none, that was a completely true statement. But as I have testified, I'd like to testify again. It is somewhat unusual for a client to be asked about his lawyer's statements instead of the other way around. I was not paying a great deal of attention to this exchange. I was focusing on my own testimony.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the White House.
This is ultimately when he apologizes to the nation.
And to this day, to which Hillary and Vice President and I look forward so much every year, this is always an important...
Yeah, they were going to light, the White House Christmas tree.
...day for our country, for the reasons that the Vice President said. It is an unusual, and I think unusually important day today. I may not be quite as easy with my words today as I have been in years past, and I was up rather late last night thinking about and praying about what I ought to say today. And rather unusually for me, I actually tried to write it down. So if you will forgive me, I will do my best to say what it is I want to say to you. And I may have to take my glasses out to read my own writing. First, I want to say to all of you that, as you might imagine, I have been on quite a journey these last few weeks to get to the end of this, to the rock bottom truth of where I am and where we all are.
You know, and so what is the apologizing for? Is this whole charade that got conducted by the President of the United States? This whole charade of his conduct in office.
I agree with those who have said that in my first statement after I testified, I was not contrite enough. I don't think there is a fancy way to say that I have sinned. It is important to me that everybody who has been hurt know that the sorrow I feel is genuine.
He is so full of shit, man. He is so full of it. It's incredible to listen to it. Honestly. Look, if you had any feeling in your body, you wouldn't have drugged her through the street. You wouldn't have allowed her to be drugged through the street. You know, he sat and watched the circus that went on. How old was she? 23? And watched her life essentially, I won't say destroyed. But I mean, come on. Yeah, that's how much sorrow you felt? Oh, my God.
Now, I believe, myself, that the Secretary of State
is in this war, and where will they confront...
I can't listen to Harry Reid again.
Radical, militant Islam, where will they confront these cold-blooded killers if they are not willing to confront them where they are today?
What's that all?
Okay, this is awesome. This is, what was that guy's name? Ajenamin? The guy from Iran. Okay, he's in New York City, and he says, listen to the audience. This is what's best about this. This is where he says, we don't have gay people in Iran. And the audience busts out laughing. And he said, I don't know where this comes from. Okay, this is hilarious.
Mother Iran...
In Iran, we don't have homosexuals like in your country. We don't have that in our country.
Yeah, and they start laughing like it's Def Jam Comedy Hour.
In Iran, we do not have this phenomenon. I don't know who's told you that we have it. But as for women, maybe you think that being a woman is a crime. It's not a crime to be a woman.
It's not a crime to be a woman.
Women are the best creatures created by God. They represent the kindness, the beauty that God instills in them. Women are respected in Iran. In Iran, every family who's given a girl is given. In every Iranian family who has a girl, they're 10 times happier than having a son. Women are respected more than men are. They are exempt from many responsibilities. Many of the legal responsibilities rest on the shoulders of men in our society because of the respect culturally given to women, to future mothers. In Iranian culture,
he started to say why they don't have the same rights.
Men and sons and girls constantly kiss the hands of their mothers as a sign of respect for women. And we are proud of this culture.
Mr. President, I have two questions to
tell. Yeah. Is that awesome or what? The crowd just like, they laugh their asses off. Okay, we're going to take a real quick break, about 60 seconds. More of the Def Jam Comedy Hour on a Friday coming up next.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Hey, Mac, do you know how much Hillary beat his ass? That dude was more terrified of that woman than his public image. Than his public image hit. Yeah. Amazing. Let me tell you, the playbook is this. You know, admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusations. You know, not only did I not do it, I never even heard of it. And they're the ones, that's what it sounds like. And they're the ones that did it. Yeah, never admit to it. Never admit to it. American politics, man, they suck. Yeah, the truth? What? Anyway. I didn't get to some of the news stories that I wanted to get to. Suffice it to say, Vladimir Putin is steering Russia back to the Cold War because it sustains his power, and it will allow him to create the Russia that as the former KGB officer, that he sees as the way Russia stays Russia. If Russia simply stops the stupidity, and he's got just enough of a military to be somebody, right? Then what happens to them? They become another, you know, Western-leaning nation. For whatever reason, because it doesn't benefit him, in my opinion, he doesn't see that as Russia's future. He sees it as continuing to be isolated or marginalized by the rest of the world, limping along with an economy smaller than Canada's, in an effort to prop up this growing military. And again, we saw it doesn't work. It can't work. But for whatever reason, Putin sees it in his advantage. Again, the active way in which they're intervening in elections of Western democracies in order to destabilize them, certainly should be a surprise to anybody. I will tell you something, though, that's an issue that needs to be debated in this country. Google and Facebook allow this stuff, much of it, to take place. And what's very disturbing is they allow the Chinese to call them on censorship issues. They do the bidding of their communist master on occasion. Because God forbid they should get booted out of China. So it is the weaponization of the Chinese economy. And everybody pays. Everybody pays. So, it's the shtick of the dictator. Except the Chinese, what makes them so formidable is their economy. They're a member of the World Trade Organization, courtesy of George H.W. Bush, and now they've reverted back to a dictator for life. According to the head of EUCOM, European Command, right, the Russian chemical attacks in England? Show what the Russians are willing to do. I don't know that that's true. The Russians have always done this stuff. I think they haven't been called out for it, though, for whatever reason. A report from Al Jazeera. The Saudis are in secret talks with the Houthis to end the Yemen war. Another interesting little headline from the Associated Press. Secretary Mattis accuses Iran of mucking around in Iraq's elections. There's a shock, right? Whose playbook is that coming out of? Hello? There you go. Russia's big brother. Or Russia's little brother, Iran. And then I want to go through this before we get off today. So it's an article in Defense News about how much different countries spent on defense. I was just looking at a scroller to see if the Attorney General has made any decision today on Andrew McCabe's retirement. And let me just tell you this: when a body of professional FBI agents, whose job it is to scrutinize cases like that, and that's what they do for a living, and they are career FBI agents, you don't get on this panel without distinguishing yourself. Right? When they recommend that you be fired, that's some serious shit. You didn't miss it by a little bit. You missed it by a lot. All right, the head of NATO is warning of Russia's reckless pattern of behavior. And that NATO should remain firm, defensive, and proportionate. Okay, which will lead me to this next article. So what did they actually spend on defense in 2017? NATO signed up at a summit in Wales in 2014. The NATO members signed a defense investment pledge, which called for all allies that did not already meet the NATO agreed guideline of spending 2% of gross domestic product on defense to stop cuts to associated budgets, gradually increase spending, and aim to move towards the goal within a decade. They also agreed to move towards spending at least 20% of annual defense expenditure on major new equipment, including related research and development, at the same time frame. After years of defense cuts, the trend over the last few years has been one of increased defense spending, the report said, unveiled by NATO's Brussels headquarters. All right. The 2017 trend continued, with European allies and Canada increasing their defense expenditures by almost 5%. Many allies have put in place national plans to reach 2% by 2024 and are making progress towards that goal. In real terms, defense spending among European allies and Canada increased from 4.87% from 2016 to 2017, with an additional cumulative spending of $46 billion for the period from 2015 to 2017, above the 2014 level. In 2017, the United States accounted for 51.1% of the Allies' combined GDP and 71.7% of combined defense expenditures. Ugh. But, the report adds, at the same time, European allies and Canada helped to redress the balance. In 2017, 26 allies spent more in real terms, that means adjusted for inflation, right, on major equipment than they did in 2016. A number of allies meeting the NATO guideline rose from rose to 12 in 2017. Greece is at 2.3%. The UK is at 2.12%. Estonia, 2.08%. And are the best performers in terms of meeting the gross domestic product target of 2%. The laggards are Luxembourg at 0.46%, Belgium at 0.9%, Spain at 0.9%, and Slovenia at 0.98%. In 2017, the report says the UK spent some $55 billion on defense, Germany $45.4 billion, and France $45.9 million. But this still pales when compared with the United States, $685 billion in spending. And you think for that which we invest in defense so we can defend these jackass countries, you think that we might have access, right, during trade? No. Why would you think that? When it comes to the proportion spent on defense of a share GDP, Europe has fallen from just under 3% in 1989. All right, so think about that. So Europe in 1989 spends 3% on defense. And now combined, 1.95% on defense last year. The United States, same period. The United States spent nearly 6% of its GDP on defense, now down to 3.5% over the same period of time. You know, the country that I'm most interested in is Germany. Germany increased defense spending last year by about 6% in real terms. That's pretty significant. The country is also upping contributions to NATO missions and operation, recently announcing it will increase its presence in Afghanistan from 1,000 troops to 1,300 troops. I think the single most significant things that have to happen are three countries need to step up: NATO, the UK, and France, and NATO. Germany, the UK, and France. The rest of those small countries, they need to do their piece, but those three countries ought to lead the way and set the example. And then they, in turn, ought to call out smaller countries. Hey, you know, whether, you know, Luxembourg, okay, what can they contribute? I don't know. Tankers? What do we need from them? What do we need from them? Interesting article in the Washington Examiner today. The U.S. could finish off ISIS if Turkey would stop fighting the Kurds, according to the Pentagon. A story to follow coming up here. I told you there was a lot of news. There's an Associated Press story that Congress is demanding that the Pentagon and Department of Justice investigate child sexual assaults on U.S. military bases. And when asked about it, school officials said there was nothing they could do. I already went over the story about the Fitzgerald XO. Navy crew members are battling PTSD. That happens when you drive ships into each other. All right. The only other story that I'll tell you before we're done here is that there's been a story about a Marine on trial whose wife went missing. This is out of the San Diego Union. Less than an hour into his murder trial, a former Marine pleaded guilty to killing an Army reservist in Fallbrook, in a Fallbrook motel in 2012, a brutal attack in which he stabbed the victim 44 times and shot her twice in the head. After the prosecutor gave his opening statement to a jury in Vista, California, on Tuesday, defendant Kevin Kosett asked for a sidebar to discuss changing his plea, Deputy District Attorney David Euler said. After some discussion, Kosett agreed to plead guilty to murder and allegations that he used a gun and knife to kill Alvin Valerio. The prosecutor agreed to drop special circumstances allegation, which could have sent Kosett to prison for life without parole. The 21-year-old faces up to 51 years to life in prison when he's sentenced on April 20th. Kosett represented himself in court. He is jailed and could not be reached for comment on Wednesday. Kosett, then a 23-year-old Marine corporal, was apprehended in February of 2013. He had a loaded gun in his waistband. In his car, they found the gun used in the attack on Valero, according to the brief trial. In Kosett's barracks room, they found a journal. In one section, it read, quote, "My name is Kevin Kosett. I am 23 years old and currently serving in the Marine Corps. Over the past few years, my life has been heading in a strange direction. Tonight, I had to kill for the third time. It was a guy named Alvin Valerio out of Fallbrook." Kosett wrote that he had to do it to survive in my fight against something he called the Musgrove Organization, which he said had plotted against him for years, had entered his mind, and had stolen his intelligence. Early in the criminal proceedings, Kosett served as his own attorney. He was later deemed mentally incompetent to stand trial and was sent to a state hospital. When he was later found to be competent, Kosett was sent back to San Diego County to face trial. Last year, following a psychiatric evaluation, he was again granted permission to represent himself. Brutal. All right, on that note, that'll do it. This program repeats itself momentarily, so whatever you do, don't touch that dial. My thanks to Kurt Knowles for coming on and doing a little F-18 explainer stuff. So stay tuned. You'll hear that. And you'll hear some funny stuff. So I guess on a week that we close out, that's kind of a sad week. Dealing with oaths and people not living up to them, and it becoming far more frequent occurrence in our country. So, I don't know. I think it's very discouraging at times, the state of our country. People that are charged with a constitutional responsibility decide that they're going to do what they want to do, what they believe in politically, and that ain't supposed to be the way it is. So, have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. On a Friday, All Marine Radio, out.